Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. No.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakeador, Laurie Blake.
Hey, mate.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Yeah, grand. Yeah.
Grand.
Waiting for this all to blow over.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've got...
Still waiting.
Two more weeks?
Two more weeks until we find out if there's three more weeks. And then we might be allowed outside. So cool.
Cool, guys. Well, let's dive into the show itself because we're going to be talking about the announcement that 2K21 has been officially cancelled. But what next for the 2K franchise? Here is the show. Quarterly report, the Q1 financial report that WWE did yesterday for its investors and whatnot, they confirmed a rumor that was started last week that 2K21 has been cancelled and there is going to be no WWE game this year, which will be the first time since 1997 that a yearly WWE game has not been released. This was a rumor that was started last week from Justin Lepper, who is a former writer of the Raw versus SmackDown game series. And he said that he'd heard that there was going to be no 2K21 this year, but 2K were still working on a WWE game. It just won't be the standard game that we got, you know, last year and the year prior and the year before that, which most likely means it's a mobile game filled with microtransactions. That's certainly my guess anyway.
I love a microtransaction, just 2K.
So yeah, they confirmed it yesterday. Frank A. Riddick, the third, the interim chief financial officer of WWE, confirmed there will be no launch of a game this year. But they did say that they're working on another game not developed. Oh, it's not developed by 2K developer Visual Concept, but that game was not mentioned in the conference call. 2K's official game account tweeted, "We will be sharing details on the future of the WWE 2K franchise, as well as some exciting news on Monday at 7 a.m. PT. So, Laurie, I think you are probably the most comprehensive player of 2K20 the world knows.
For my sins. this is my punishment for not taking quizzes seriously. I think the thing is it's a bad game, isn't it? It's the problem is that before 2K20 was created, the end of 2K19's development cycle, Yuke's decided basically that they weren't going to work on the WWE 2K series anymore. They started, they're in the works of their own wrestling game, sort of going back to their lineage of having previously created their own wrestling games in Japan, which is why they got signed up to do SmackDown in 2000. And now Yuke's are working on their own thing. People are wondering whether that's the AEW game, but I feel like AEW might have got together some sort of like legacy Aki team to do it. Like they want to do like a WCW NWO revenge style game.
Exactly. They want to do No Mercy in 2020.
Exactly. I think that's what they want to do. But yeah, so Yuke's have decided basically they want to go off and make their own wrestling game. Seemingly that was because what was sort of intimated by them was that there was frustrations of working with 2K. And I think that's probably the notion that the game has become more of a simulation than an arcade experience. If you look at the old SmackDown games, when THQ were running the shop, they were very arcadey. They were very much in that. They were even more arcadey than No Mercy was. No Mercy was actually the more technical game with, like, there are hundreds of permutations of moves that you can do. Everything can be countered. Everything can happen. Like, SmackDown didn't get counters until, like, Here Comes the Pain, I think, something like that. Like, it was a long time coming for there to even be the ability to change the game back in your favor. So yeah, there's all this frustration building up, and then Yuke's decide they're going to move on. Development is handed over to Visual Concepts, who are an internal 2K team. Yuke said they will stay on board for engine queries. So I think this is the main reason why that game was so bad, right? Because the big criticism of the WWE 2K games is that they were being made on an engine that was vastly, vastly out of date. This was being made on the same engine that 2K13 was being made on.
Wow.
Which is when 2K bought the WWE license. That's when THQ went bust. They got that license at a massively reduced price, and churned out a game as quickly as they could. And that is the foundation that these games have been built on ever since. And obviously, if you're the main developer of a series like Yuke's was, you're going to keep working at that engine and tinkering with it. But it's not the same as if you just have a new engine that you've built from scratch to do a job that you know you're going to do. What they did was put together an engine to make a game run, and they've slowly bolted bits on and changed bits of code. So if you're the key developer on that, you're going to be the people who know how to make that work and how to make that sing. I'm not arguing that Yuke's ever really made it sing. WWE 2K, the series, has been pretty ropey throughout, but it has had some very good gleams. It's never had the technical issues that WWE 2K20 had, and that only comes from people not understanding the engine. So I think the reason they've cancelled WWE 2K21 is because they need to build an engine. They need to build an engine that they understand. Because, you know, other than updating the wrestlers in the game, of which I guess now we just remove some, and we add in Jake Atlas, you know, like, but beyond that, and making some sort of obviously bollocks career mode that they're going to make, some sort of rubbish story mode, there's not a huge deal to do beyond, you know, they incrementally improve the graphics, they update everyone so they're current, and mostly the basics of the game are the same. So I think the only reason to cancel and elongate the development process is because they need to get this engine under control, and they probably need to build a whole new one. I don't know whether the game itself is worth that much money to 2K that they want to spend ages making a new engine. Like, it is a B tier. It feels like it's a double A game and not a triple A game, you know? And we don't make double A games anymore because they're not financially viable. So
no. And 2K20 was a big load of bollocks. Like, let's put it out there. It was a really, really bad game. I am amazed to see, like, we've got a fan Discord that's run by fans. And I was amazed to see that there were people who were still buying DLC for it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was absolutely stunned to my core, because the game was really bad. Mm-hmm. Everyone said it was really bad. There was very few people out there who were defending the game. And, you know, I took a lot of flack on Twitter because I criticized the 2K for having The Fiend as a pre-order bonus. Mm-hmm. Because I
felt, Wyatt, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, he's the hottest thing in the business right now. He should just be in the game. You don't have to pre-order it in order to get it. And I got a lot of hate from that, from people who stream 2K games for their living, who said, well, we're going to pre-order the game anyway because we know it's going to be good. And, you know, and now those people now are not defending the game because the game came out and it was a big load of pants.
And it's tanked YouTubers' careers. Like, you know, it's not just tanked the sales of this game for 2K. It's not just tanked WWE's profit expectations from the licensing deal. It's completely ruined a load of YouTubers' careers.
So I suppose the question is, because like, yeah, you're right. At one point, we were like, what, one of the biggest Twitch streamers of 2K20?
I think just and at the time that we were on.
Yeah, but my point was going to be, it wasn't because like we were popular or anything. It's because we were about the only people that were still streaming it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I think everyone, the reviews were so bad for this game. This game was full of game-breaking bugs. It was terribly put together. The story mode was the biggest pile of gubbins I think I've ever played, I've ever experienced. And this is the problem with, like, I think, so. And some of it is definitely like a technical issue, and some of it was a creative issue. And I think they both those issues in concert spoiled that game. I wouldn't say that, like, you can't just put it down to it's a game of great ideas but no ability to execute them. It was a game of bad ideas that were badly executed.
So is it worth 2K kind of not so much going back to the drawing board and releasing 2K22, mm-hmm. but instead releasing one giant patch for 2K20, or 2K21, I suppose it would be, for 2K20 that then makes it 2K21? So you're not actually releasing a new game. You're just releasing a patch that updates the roster, updates everyone's attire, updates, you know, new locations and things like that, a new story mode. And so the people that have bought 2K20 just have to pay, you know, whatever it is, DLC amount to get 2K21, and it just essentially updates the file you've already got?
Well, this is your altruistic answer to that problem, isn't it? This is the argument that people have been making about sports games for ages. If all you're adding to a sports game is you're updating the rosters on teams and you're fixing the standings so they reflect the world as it is. Like FIFA does that on a near weekly basis, I think. It constantly changes who's, like, there is a live version of FIFA that's tracking real football. And WWE should do the same. But then the argument to be made is, why sell the next year's FIFA? Why sell the next year's 2K game? Why not just make it a patch? And it's like, well, because it's money, isn't it? Like, it's not. We're never going to get the you buy this one FIFA and that is FIFA forever, and they just continue to update it as time goes on. I just don't think that's good business practice for people. I mean, like, when you take 2K into account, who have hidden the ability to have your player character even be good behind paywalls before. Yeah. They've hidden the ability to, like, access half the game behind a paywall. I just don't think you're going to get this ideal situation in which you get this, one game that they update kind of for a reasonable amount of money. And I guess that's the other thing about the 2K series is their business practices with the previous games were so mercenary that they had no goodwill going into 2K20, really. Like, they had to have these YouTubers who made their living, like people whose jobs relied on this game being good. They were the only people coming out and being like, wow, I'm really rooting for this game. Everyone else was like, I want to see this fail. Because do you know what? Like, we've all been, like, I don't know about anyone listening or watching. It's like, I think I've been burned personally by buying a WWE 2K game when I was just, you know, not having to do it for work. And it was just as a fan, and I just wanted to play some wrestling game. And, you know, I wanted to do the thing that everyone does in 2K games, which is create a wrestler and do a career. And like, have that be sort of reflective of the kind of career modes that you used to get, which were they had a sort of loose story that drove you through the plot. But mostly it was you going after whatever championship you wanted to go after, stuff like that. The 2K ones became so prescribed and such a ladder of like, well, you have to do this. You know, in the one I wanted to do, I was watching NXT at the time, so I just wanted to be the NXT champion. And the game literally lets you get the NXT championship and then immediately forces you to lose it so that you can go to Raw and SmackDown and stuff. I want to be on NXT. Like, why can't that be a choice? Why can't we just go back to the days of like the career mode from SmackDown, where it was just, you just do week to week TV and then do a pay-per-view. And then when you win the championship, you just defend that on pay-per-views.
Yeah. And well, like the No Mercy one.
Yeah. And there's just a loose story in between where it's like people come up to you backstage and that starts feuds and stuff like that. I don't think it doesn't need to be that complex. I think most people would be perfectly happy to just sort of go through the motions of being a wrestler. They don't need it to be like, you're invading from this small upstart wrestling promotion into NXT, and then you progress through NXT and you win the Universal Championship on your first day by a roll up, and then you get chased by Samoa, like in the current one where you're just this goon, like the worst human possible. Yeah. They made your character, and so every single moment in the game, which is meant to be like the high point of your career as a fan, where you win the Universal title or you go into the Hall of Fame, every single moment is played as a joke. So you, the player, is made to feel like an idiot and a joke every point by this game. These are all creative decisions that they kept making with these things that are so dumb. Yeah. So I'm hoping if they, you know, if they're having 2 years off and they get to think about it and make their own engine and come back to it, I'm hoping they actually start to take the criticism on board and they listen to the wider community of people talking about the game. Because I think the thing with wrestling games as well is that they're very hard to review. And I think reviewers haven't done a particularly great job of understanding the intricacies of what wrestling fans expect from wrestling games. Like I tried to read reviews of 2K19, 2K20, and beyond saying that it was, you know, 2K20 was technically bereft. No one was looking at the career mode. No one was talking about the, no one was actually really saying like, this is the experience of playing the story. This is the experience of being a wrestler. This is the experience of making your character. All this stuff is locked behind loot boxes, by the way. You know, that's the information that I wanted. What they were talking about was like, I did a match as AJ Styles. And that's very much like your basic review event style stuff. That's, you know, like, here we are showing off the best bit of the game. We've spent ages making AJ Styles' entrance because he's brand new to WWE in whatever year it was they were doing the game. We spent ages doing the cover art stars. So Becky Lynch has a great entrance in WWE 2K20. Let's not show you Dana Brooke.
Yeah.
Awful goblin Dana Brooke that we've made, but we will show you Becky Lynch. And so that's what I think all the reviews come out of, that idea of like non-wrestling fans who are games journalists being given, or like not massive wrestling fans who are games journalists being given this game to play and going, well, these are the top guys and these are the people I've probably heard of in the outside sphere, so I'll play as those. And if you play only as the people who have had the most time lavished on them, the game's actually quite good. But it would be the same as if Street Fighter was only Ryu and then a load of child's drawings.
Yeah.
Like it's just, you can't review it like that. You've got to go deeper into it. And I think this is what 2K need to be taking on board, because reviewers will probably just only have played the surface level stuff and gone, yeah, that's fine. 7 out of 10. The WWE 2K games are your classic 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10 game. but yeah, I think they need to listen to the fans and go like, this is what we actually want from these games. And this is, you know, this is the reason why Justin Leeper or Leper has had such sway in terms of these stories about this game, is because not only because he was he's got insight with the development team, but because he wrote one of the best story modes that WWE games have ever had. So people are like, you were part of the development team of something that everyone really enjoyed. So that gives him cachet to say these things, right?
Yeah, totally. And like, so, you know, 2K have said that they're going to be making an announcement on Monday regarding the future of the sort of WWE game franchise. And as I said, like, my prediction on that is most likely it's going to be a mobile game. And when you look at sort of the current landscape of mobile games, you might ask, well, you know, pourquoi? Why would you release a mobile game in such a sort of crowded market as it already is? And my wager to that would be the same reason that EA have never made another Simpsons game. EA have never made a proper Simpsons game since, you know, the sort of the classics of Hit and Run and things like that, because they don't need to. Because they've got Simpsons Tapped Out. And Simpsons Tapped Out makes them a bucket load of money every single month. So if you're 2K, and, you know, we've talked kind of extensively on this about how they bloody love a loot box and they like hiding things behind loot boxes, well, go to the mobile market, because on the mobile market, people don't tend to mind loot boxes. They don't mind spending those microtransactions to get extra gubbins. You know, so you may as well release a mobile game. Just release that one mobile game and make an absolute crap load of money on that. And it doesn't even have to be good, because like Simpsons Tapped Out is, it's a coloring book. Like, it's not a game. It's a time wasting coloring book, but yet people just spend an absolute ton of money on it.
I think mobile games is definitely a sphere they're going to be looking into. I wonder whether they're going to do something like, an arcade style game in which you can have a limited roster of characters and use faces like The Rock and Hogan and people like that to sell the game, like WWE All-Stars was. I don't know if you remember that game. It's on Xbox and stuff, the really chunky aesthetic one.
Yeah. With the big massive moves in it.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder if something like that could be in the works as like a stopgap style game, or whether it's something just like just pick one person and it's their story. Like if they just did that, the Daniel Bryan career mode from 2K20 with one other person as a standalone game, that might be okay. I just think, yeah, like you aren't going to get this the full-fledged bells and whistles version of 2K, and that's the thing I don't understand. Like, you could just fix the technical stuff and then remove all the locks on the fun, and then that would be a good game. It's not hard.
No, it's not hard at all.
The logic behind it's not hard. I'm sure the making of it is incredibly hard. That's why I'm not a game developer. But
so I think we could probably presume that they'll be back for 2K22. Unless, of course, this sort of like, you know, fantasy booked mobile game that we've come up with at the top of our heads is a huge financial success for them. We can probably presume they'll be back for 2K22. For me, I'd really like to see them go back to that more arcadey style as opposed to the simulation style. And I wonder, you know, because Cody yesterday was talking, it wasn't yesterday, it was a couple of days ago, was talking, like giving an update on the AEW video game and saying, you know, it is still coming. We're going to be working on it. I think we're hoping to release it this year, but that might not happen now. It might be pushed back to next year or what have you. I wonder if like what the success of that game might have, or, you know, supposed success in that game might have on what 2K22 might bring to the table.
Yeah, I think they're going to be watching that very closely if that happens, because this is going to be, I think if Kenny is sort of heading up the AEW side of the negotiations there, in a sense of like, I think he's probably the most tenured gamer and the most obvious, like I have the deepest hooks in the fighting game community. He's going to be adamant, I think, that it's that sort of Aki style, the Aki engine game in a No Mercy style, because I think what they understand is that games are games and not accurate simulations. Like WWE is a simulated sport.
Yeah,
and you don't do a simulation of a simulated sport because that doesn't work. Like FIFA works as a sports simulation because it tweaks the ability for you to be on the level of the people. Whereas wrestling is too complex to do a simulation of that because you have to simulate both the kayfabe and the real world versions of what are going on. And WWE 2K games have failed at that at basically every hurdle because the game is fighting against itself at every point to be like... Triple H is telling you to win the match after doing certain things, but then you're forced to lose by the storyline. And it's like, this none of this makes sense. Why am I performing a match to a certain degree and doing all these different bits that tell a story, then for the story to swerve off in a direction that I'm not part of?
Yeah.
So I guess the AEW game is going to be the more arcadey experience. I think they are deeply rooting themselves in wrestling nostalgia anyway. You know, the whole presentation of Dynamite is WCW Nitro, and I think a wrestling game for them is going to be of that same era.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Well, speaking of AEW, let's look at this week's ratings for AEW and NXT. And after 2 weeks on the bounce of losing to NXT, AEW did claw back a victory this week, averaging 731,000 viewers, which is up 7% from last week, and is the best number for the show since March 25th. So it's pretty good win in the books for them, you know, for the last month. And they averaged about the same 0.25 rating as last week in the all-important 18 to 49. NXT was down, but only 4% to 100,000 viewers, rather. But crucially for NXT, they were up 6% in the all-important demo to get a 0.18 rating, which is a great, great result for NXT, because the one thing that they've always had, or, you know, sort of the one... criticism is the wrong word, but I think what's been a bit of a laughing stock, not a laughing stock, because that seems a bit harsh, but one of the things that people have always made fun at is that they have done very well in the over 50 rating, but have never done very well in actually creating a new audience or bringing a younger audience in. But, you know, this week was a really good week for them.
Shame this is the week that everyone tuned in.
Yeah. I actually haven't seen this week's NXT.
It was a weird week of NXT in which a lot of just odd stuff happened. There was a really odd promo from Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae. There was a really, the main event finish was an absolute cluster F. It was someone who wasn't in the match tagged into the match and did a hot tag spot. It was a bit like, it was just a bit all over the place. And I think the other thing is that, you know, it's a weird time for NXT because it's completely rudderless now because there's no end goal for anything. There's no pay-per-view coming up as far as we know. So like, we're just sort of all going, there's, you know, we don't know what we're building to. And I think that's the structure that wrestling's missing at the moment, is that kind of feeling of like, well, we're going to get here and then something might happen. And obviously then the rest of the time stuff is surprising, but it just feels like, I think we've been trained by normal wrestling to go week to week. Titles probably won't change hands. This probably won't happen. They're still building to the pay-per-view. So I don't know. Maybe it'll take a while for us. Maybe it's us that needs to adjust to the idea that, like, you know, if there's a North American title match next week, North American title could change hands.
It might switch it.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there, Podswafters. If you're listening to this right now, I want you to take a second and look down. When was the last time you shaved your giggleberries? It's been a while, don't lie.
So let's thank today's sponsor, Manscaped, for holding people like you accountable to getting rid of the funk and shave your junk. Especially during this time, not letting our hair grow wild, so sort out your big hairy balls too.
And you don't have to worry about cuts thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. They've also got anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. I mean, I put deodorant on my body, so I guess I should also put it on the smelliest part of my body as well? Just because I'm not going out the house doesn't mean I shouldn't let my undertakers stink up the house.
And when you purchase the new Perfect Package 3.0 kit at manscaped.com, for a limited time only, subscribers get not one, but two free gifts. The Shed Travel Bag worth $39 and the high-performance anti-chafing Manscaped Boxer Briefs, which, true story, I'm wearing right now.
So am I, and you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code WRESTLETALK at manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com with the code WRESTLETALK to get 20% off and free international shipping to the US, Canada, Australia, and even here in the United Kingdom.
Support WrestleTalk, support Manscaped, support your balls, and use the code WrestleTalk at manscaped.com. You'll need some tidy balls. Well, thank you.
dive into the mailbag. If you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers on Patreon, which you can do by looking at this thing right down here, patreon.com/wrestletalk, and leaving a comment in our community tab that is labeled mailbag. Do not email me. I will just lose it. Make sure it's clearly labeled mailbag, or I might just miss it. Very bad at all of this. Our first one comes in from Black Mass Alistair Gammon, who says, "Hey, everyone at WrestleTalk. I know you've been saying this a lot as of late with the mailbag questions, but I do hope you're all safe and well. Love to all of you and your families." Thank you very much for that. Something's been playing on my mind in relation to WWE live events when they are able to return to them, of course. Could any of you see WWE, and maybe AEW to a much lesser extent, because due to the most part they're already doing it, looking to use smaller arenas instead of larger ones, such as the Garden in Boston or the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, or any of the NHL, NBA arenas for Raw and SmackDown, and looking at smaller college or university arenas in the 7 to 10,000 range, smaller arenas, higher capacity, greater noise. Also, what was the best thing before sliced bread? Thank you to everything you have done. Proud to be a Patreon backer since late 2017 and will continue to support through this current pandemic. Keep up the consistency. Nice. Thank you very, very much. So, yeah, could we see WWE go to smaller buildings once this is all done?
I think they probably have to. Like, I think there will be an incremental relaxing of social distancing, unless, of course, the protesters get their way in America, in which case it will just be a free-for-all.
Inject disinfectant, mate. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, inject disinfectant, and then we can all have a bash at the beach. I think we're going to get a relaxing of the measures. If people are sensible, I think the advice coming out of scientific organizations will be you should open up vital services first. You should then open up pubs and restaurants. You should then open up gig venues with capacities of under 100. You should then expand that out to multiple hundreds, and then we eventually get to the thousands. Mm. But that's going to be a really slow process, as people have to, you know, what needs to happen at the same time is people need to get a track of who's had the virus, who's got the virus, who they've been in contact with. And what you can't risk is having someone who we don't know has the virus go to a huge venue and potentially give it to 1,000 people.
Yeah, totally.
Because then we're just back in lockdown.
Yeah.
So, exactly. Yeah, I think WWE, not even just from the point of view of like it being acoustically better and filling out an arena is easier at smaller numbers, because, you know, this is also probably going to be plenty of people who are going to wait until the last moment to go back out into certain environments as well, because I think that's probably just sensible. Not even just counting the fact that I think it's going to make better television to have a smaller venue with a louder crowd in it, I think they're going to be forced to look for smaller venues as they go.
And Vince said in the quarterly report yesterday, well, sort of in the conference call, that they intend that as soon as they're allowed to hold the first live event. Like, that's they want to be sort of first to the out the door to have the first live event, because, you know, they did the same thing after 9/11. They were the first sort of like mass gathering of people. So they will be looking to do that as well, because then you can make a documentary out of it at some point. Yeah. And
it's called Running Back into the Fire.
But what they also said was that they're expecting venues to be charging less rent, because they'll be sort of desperate to have people book them up. And so if the venues are charging less rent, they can sell ticket prices at a lower value, which in turn they hope means they will get a higher amount of people buying those tickets, and attendance figures will actually be up again. So
it's a fine line though, isn't it? Because I think maybe then event tickets might be higher in the long run, because there's going to be a point at which those venues are going to want to switch to an even higher rate to make up for some of the loss that they've had, right?
Exactly, yeah. Isaiah Kincaid, or Kinnard, says, "I'm a new Patreon backer, and I've been a WrestleTalk supporter since it was just Ollie. I remember when Luke was just Ollie's friend would sometimes..." Sorry, excuse me.
He's getting choked up talking about his past. Oh, God, he's really upset.
Sorry, I was...
What a beautiful moment.
I was a bit of muesli from breakfast this morning. I remember when Luke was just Ollie's friend that would sometimes come on. Anyways, quick question. What do you want wrestling to look like in 5 years? Really looking for your thoughts on WWE, NXT, and AEW. For reference, only 50% of the guys that wrestled at WrestleMania 31 are still in the company today.
Mm.
which is, that's quite the stats. I wonder if that includes the Battle Royal as well. But yes, so what do you want wrestling to look like in 5 years' time?
I don't know. In 5 years' time, I guess in 5 years' time, I think like all fans, I'd just like to see the people that I liked getting the kudos that I think they deserve. But that's the case of rooting for anyone, isn't it? I think like WWE, I would like to see people like The Fiend becoming a staple of their roster. I would like to see The Fiend starting to occupy a space that was reserved for like The Undertaker, but not be The Undertaker in WWE. Like, I think that's you can't hammer into that hole, but I think he could occupy that space in fans' hearts. I think you want to see people like Daniel Bryan perennially being in that title picture. I think you want to see people like Adam Cole on the up and up. Like, I want to see a world in which it's not just Brock Lesnar's got a really big contract and he's going to come in for big, big title matches.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see it be like, here's a roster who you know are going to be there week in, week out. This is, you know, it's why Brock got his shot in the first place. You know, this is Brock, they needed someone to be there because a load of other people were leaving. So they needed someone who was going to be the champion. And this is why Brock left, because he decided that the work rate wasn't good for him. So he went. But then to bring him back sort of intermittently, I think has ruined the experience of those top two championships, because people just don't think they're there to be defended.
Yeah, I certainly sort of, I would like to see AEW still around. That is, aside from, you know, to echo your statements of just seeing the guys that I like, the guys and girls that I like doing well, I'd like to see not AEW just doing well and still around, but, you know, thriving, you know, having got a good TV deal, a secondary TV deal. And just what I don't want, what I would kind of suck to see is that AEW is still around, but it's like a shell of what they used to be. So it's like, you know, they're only running in front of 100 or 200 people. Like, that would be quite a sad sort of end to the tale. So I'd like to see them still doing as well as they are now, if not better. I think that would be a really good thing.
Well, again, competition is healthy. Oh, we didn't answer the sliced bread question, Luke.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry, you're absolutely right. What was the best thing before? I suppose it would have been, I mean, bread is great, right?
Well, stages of bread, right? So there's bread, you get bread, and bread, you're like, whoa, bread's amazing. But then to eat bread, you have to rip the bread. So ripped bread is the, and then you thought, we could probably do this nicer.
Yeah.
And that's when you invent sliced bread.
Well, surely there's a step between that. It's you cut bread. So you cut bread into slices, but it's not technically sliced bread, because sliced bread is then it comes already sliced for you. So you're sort of removing one step. So you're right, it's bread, so then ripped bread, cut up bread, sliced bread.
Cool. I'm glad we got to the bottom of that.
The biker Gina Sexton says, hello, Rest Talk. Not really a question, but I just wanted to say I've finally become a pledgehammer. I wanted to say thank you for all the work you do, especially in these dark times. Keep safe. Also, on a side note, an indie UK promotion called New Force Wrestling, based in West London, who I wrestle for, is bringing out a mobile card trading game, which I am a playable character in, and I'm really excited. That's awesome. It's good to have something to be happy about. Being stuck at home all day long is boring and frustrating. Stay safe, everyone. That's awesome. Congratulations. I'll have to look into that.
It is boring and frustrating as well, though.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's so depressing talking to Ollie Davis around these sort of things, because he's getting very bored of all of this now. Yeah. He's getting very bored of his four walls.
I keep being like, it's like being under house arrest, but I also have to go to work. It's like the weekend is meaningless. It's just another day. I'm just like, yeah, I'm not excited to get to the end of the day and be like, wow, Saturday and Sunday. Can't wait.
Yeah, particularly because like I'm now doing work on Saturdays as well and a little bit on Sundays. It just means that every day is a work day now. Flame Inc. Live, are we going to have predictions and Wrestle League happening? Yes, we are. We're certainly going to be doing predictions for Money in the Bank. And well, yeah, because it'll be from now until SummerSlam, that's the next season. So yeah, we will still be doing our Wrestle League predictions. Secondly, if you could bring back three wrestlers from the dead in their prime, no wrestlers here, for another run in WWE, who would it be? Do not say Eddie, because that's the easy answer. But it would be Eddie. Yeah. Give this one a good long think. I would bring back Ashley Massaro, Randy Savage, and Roddy Piper. Well, Roddy Piper is a great shout.
Roddy is a great shout.
Yeah. But yeah, Eddie's my answer. Eddie's always going to be my answer.
Eddie's too good. He's just amazing.
Yeah. Can
I have Eddie three times?
Oh yeah, we have got
the three amigos. As a tag team.
So I'm definitely picking Eddie.
Yeah.
Yeah, possibly Piper, because Piper was such a good talker and such a great character.
China.
Oh, China's a great shout. Yeah, proper like in her prime China. That's a really, really good shout.
She would like just add something to the women's division. I think
Completely.
She would occupy, like she would immediately push Nia Jax out.
Yeah.
Not to be horrible to Nia Jax, but I just think she would in WWE's head just be like, no, that's the monster. That's the character we're going to use for that now. Like,
Well, let's also give a shout out to Flaming Live, because he says, please keep up the good work in all of this and keep healthy. I tried to keep myself, but high risk with asthma plus essential worker doesn't help at all in this time in life. So all the goodwill to you, my friend.
Yeah,
Matt Field. Hello, Luke, Ollie, and the Wrestle Talk team. It was so sad hearing about the passing of Howard Finkel. I myself am only 24 years old, and I've only ever watched his legendary announcing career through the way of classic programming on the network, but still think he is simply the best to ever do it. My question is, what is your single greatest memory of the Fink? For me, it was Survivor Series 2011 when announcing CM Punk, where it seemed to take forever to get his words out, and CM Punk came out and took the piss. Thank you for your hard work and consistency, Matt Field. Now, when Fink passed, a lot of people showed that clip again when Fink came out. It was a CM Punk request that he wanted Fink to come out to announce him to the ring. And, you know, particularly because then we can get the, and no, you know, get the full sort of Fink experience. But I don't like watching that clip because it is really undermined by Vince McMahon telling the commentators to laugh at Fink. And it's a horrible, horrible clip to listen to, because it's Fink getting genuinely emotional and really like showing genuine emotion for this great honor that he's been bestowed upon. And it is completely undermined by Michael Cole acting like a knobhead, giggling on commentary because he took a little while to get his words out because he was trying to overcome the emotions. And it's so horrible to watch. And it's classic WWE bullying BS. So it's not one of my favorite Fink memories, because I think it's ruined by WWE themselves. But it's, I mean, I've got some hearing the and new. Yeah. And I think one of my favorite and news will always be The Rock winning the title at Backlash 2000. Because it was what I wanted to have happened at WrestleMania, was for The Rock to win. And we got it at Backlash instead with the help of Austin. And as I posted on Twitter just before WrestleMania X7, when he announced, there will be no disqualifications. Sassy, sassy thing.
I think that's the thing. I think it's one of those jobs in wrestling that is like almost overlooked, isn't it? It's one of those things that becomes such a part of the wallpaper. And then to have been the guy to put up the wallpaper, I think that's the really important thing that Fink did. I think that's the key there, is that he, you know, so much of my memory of hearing it is just in his voice.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the best memory for me. It's not even like a specific moment. It's just the fact that that is just what it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Liana Perry said, hey lads, hope you're all safe in London. I love watching old crowd pops and big returns every now and again when the wrestling bug hits strong. It's amazing to re-watch wrestlers' debut or big wins and see how amazingly over they were. For example, Dolph cashing in Money in the Bank, Revival, or Nakamura's debut, etc. So sad to see how over they were or how little reaction they draw now, especially as there's no crowd. My question is, out of everyone on the roster, do you wish was still as over as they were when they debuted or won a championship? From Liana, you say it how you want to say, you say it how you would say the car, the Suzuki, Liana. Yes, my mum named me after a car from Oxfordshire. So I'm going to assume, I mean, I don't know how to say a Suzuki Liana, because I've got a Suzuki Swift, Minoru Suzuki Swift. So I'm going to say Liana. Liana? Liana? I don't know.
No, I can't see how it's spelled.
No, L-I-A-N-A.
Liana.
Liana. Yeah, we'll go with that. I mean, you kind of have my answer in your question there, which is Shinsuke Nakamura. Like, I miss NXT debut against Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, when he still cared.
Yeah.
I miss that Nakamura.
What, before WWE drummed it out of him? Yeah, I guess like there's so many people that just have that, you know, if you don't. And it's weird because Shinsuke's still got the big entrance. He's still got the great song. He's still, you know, there's so much about him that's still got that mystique to him. He's still clearly like a performer on a different level to a lot of people, with just like, he's got a whole way of holding himself and carrying himself. And yeah, it's a shame that something that WWE chose to do could just ruin people's feelings of that. I feel like Sami Zayn is another one that I would like to see, like on that flip side of things, like to see NXT Sami Zayn, or even when he first came up to the main roster, Sami Zayn, like before all the injuries, before all that stuff, like when people were really rooting for him as an underdog, and like to get all the way down the line, it's only now that he's winning his first championship. Just baffles me completely. It's just what a waste of talent, clearly.
Absolutely. Rusev is another one. Like, you know, go back to like WrestleMania, Rusev coming out in the tank. Gotta miss that, Rusev.
Rusev Day, the height of Rusev Day as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other one actually that sprung to mind was Finn Balor. And I'm, you know, Balor's doing great stuff down in, now he's gone back to NXT, but I do miss that babyface Balor that was in NXT. Like, you know, I think you were there for Takeover London. I know you're on it. Yeah. And it, like, being part of that crowd there to do the big entrance and everything for the match was just, it was amazing. Like, me and my buddy were there in our Balor Club t-shirts. Absolutely, like, just in such adoration of Balor. So I do miss that Balor in some sense.
Also, I miss the Finn Balor that, you know, was first draft pick on Raw and the first Universal Champion. Like, I miss all of that. That was the point where everyone was like, he's the next big thing. And obviously that's a unfortunate circumstance with him. But they should have. The refresh that he's had in NXT is something that they probably should have thought of on Raw or SmackDown at some point. Got like, let's just do this because it completely revamps the character.
Dylan from Cork, good lad, this one. Favorite time of the week again, listening to two of my favorite bunch of wrestling pals. I mentioned in a previous mailbag back in February that I'd started training with my local indie promotion, Phoenix Wrestling, in beautiful Cork, Ireland. Subscribe to our streaming service over at pivotshare.com, shameless plug. I've now started developing my character. As we all know, a theme song is a critical part to a wrestling character, and it got me wondering, if you were a wrestler, what song would you use as your entrance music? I'm a big fan of the metal band Norma Jean and think their song Deathbed Atheist and Memphis Will Be Laid to Waste would be fantastic songs to make an entrance. On a side note, thank you to all of the WrestleTalk Parts of Unknown teams for the fantastic entertainment you provide during these tough times. I know we've never met, but you are genuinely some of my best friends, and I hope to be able to cross paths with you in the person in the future. I upped my pledge to $25 this month to show my small part appreciation for you guys. Well, thank you so much, Dan. You're a top, top dude. I hope we do cross paths again. It's been a long time listener and emailer. So, yeah, if you could have a song to be your entrance theme.
Call me out, Paul Simon.
There it is.
You have a whole crowd going, da, 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 da. That's what I'd do.
Yeah, that's such a great shout.
I like wrestlers who have, I don't like, I, there's a plenty, there's thousands and thousands of wrestlers with metal themes. And I think the ones that always stick out in my head is like, it's Grado coming out to Like a Prayer. Like, I just think there's something in that, you know, there's something in Jimmy Jacobs coming out to whatever that song is about horses that he comes out to. I can't remember the name of it, but like, there's, I think there's a lot in those, like, it doesn't quite fit a traditional wrestling pop, basically.
Yeah, totally. Which is why, I mean, my answer was going to be Heaven Is a Place on Earth by Belinda Carlisle.
Yes.
Because that is like, you can have the big dum dum. Oh, baby, do you know what that's what? And like, you know, have the crowd sing along with that. Because, yeah, when you sort of mentioned Paul Simon, Grado was the first thing that came to mind. Mm-hmm. Like, when I used to do backyard wrestling in my sort of teenage years, very, very poorly, I hasten to add, I was all about like the metal music and coming out to what sounded cool and sound like, you know, I'm going to come out to Faith No More because like they're my favorite band. But actually, yeah, sort of in my 30s, I'm like, no, I want a fun song to be an entrance theme.
Yeah, exactly. Another good one is Chesney Hawke's I'm the One and Only.
Yeah.
That's great. That'd be a great entrance theme because you got that big burst through the curtain. I am the one and only.
Irakli, hello everyone at WrestleTalk. Hope you're doing well. What do you think is the most overrated match?
Overrated? Like, as in, like, just one match or, like, a gimmick or...
I think what Irakli means is like a match that is incredibly praised, but when you watched it, you're like, nah, didn't really work for me. I mean, my answer is it's Bret Shawn from WrestleMania, the 60-minute Iron Man match. Mm. I think it's quite frankly a bit boring. It's really not for me.
What haven't I enjoyed? I don't like my memory's only just saying recent things, but I don't think anything's been like, I don't feel like anything's been massively overrated. I think people have always, like, things that I have enjoyed have either been widely enjoyed or the criticism I feel have been leveled at them fairly. Take the Randy Orton Edge match from WrestleMania 36 that is just at the top of my head at the moment. Like, that I think has all the fair criticism leveled at it of being far too long and fairly boring, but, you know, had a lot of emotion in there and there was some really good bits and the end was really great. But yeah, I think that's the thing about wrestling. It's like there's so many bits that ebb and flow. So I don't really know what's been highly praised that I was like, meh.
Do you know what I like about Irakli as well is that's it. It's just, you know, it's a question that has got seven words. Short and sweet. I like you, Irakli. I like that a lot. Wilson Simon says, hello, lads. Hope everything is all right. I know we can't all wait for the Steve Corino thing to be over. Speaking of Steve Corino, I'm sure you're all very excited to be first show back with fans. It's if someone gave you a mic and wanted you, someone to give you a magic wand and you could book the first show back and anything you wanted and any matches you wanted with any guys in any company, what would you book and why? Personally, no matter what show it is, I'm starting with Big E going, oh, insert town. Big E and Kofi come out and step aside for Xavier Woods' return. New Day cut a promo and then 24/7 title shenanigans. Xavier super kicks the Gronk for your new 24/7 champion, Xavier Woods. It's just a start, but I hope you're doing well and staying safe. Very, very strange times we are in. Can't thank you all enough for reading this. Happy birthday, Chopper. I liked everything you had there until it involved the 24/7 title, because Xavier Woods is far too good for that stupid dumb title.
I think Xavier Woods would make that title. If you gave it to Xavier Woods and you said, just do what you want with it and like incorporate into up, up, down, down and all of that stuff, I think that title would suddenly make sense again. It would go back to like the first week of it where it actually sort of people were like, oh, okay, I kind of get this. And then it was just the roll up belt. Like the point of it was, I feel like the pitch was, it was meant to be the hardcore title. Right. And then it's just I've cheap shotted you in the middle of an interview and rolled you up. Like it should be, you know, it should be more, I guess it should be more kind of like the Proteus title in Progress. It's a bit more like whoever holds it sort of is the one to it sort of dictates the way it's defended. So if someone is like quite violent holding a 24/7 belt, they should be defending it quite viciously. But instead, everyone's just defending it the same way, which is they're not. They're just getting snuck up on. I think Drake Maverick was a good 24/7 champion.
Oh, yeah. He did some good stuff with it for the brief period of time. I think if I'm having a guy start a show, just because I'm thinking of that sort of like just great crowd pop and crowd reaction, it's Cody on an episode of Dynamite. It's that the lights going out and the big thing raising up and Cody coming up from the stage. I think because he's got such a great sort of love from the AEW fan base, I think it would just be an absolutely monster pop for him. Or, you know, even Jericho with people singing along with Judas. I think it's going to be a really fun way to open up a show and sort of like just welcome back, you know, this sort of everyone is here to enjoy themselves again.
Main event, I want Drew McIntyre, WWE champion, to walk out and say, we're back for a main event and I refuse to sit in the back and not defend my hard-fought WWE championship. On this show, and Adam Cole's music hits.
Oh.
And we get the thing they teased in NXT and they never got to pay off on.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very good. The Snapdragon King, Ryo or Ryu Odonte. Hey, you guys. I just became a Pledgehammer recently and I'm enjoying the WrestleTalk extra content of you covering old pay-per-views. I work overnights during most of the week, so can't normally watch or catch your shows live on YouTube, but I do watch the catch-up parts and have that thumbs-up party. My question is sort of long, but I wondered about if recently, after going back and looking at the Hardy Boys in TNA, How would you feel about a match of The Fiend versus Willow the Wisp?
Willow.
I know Willow was sort of like a mysterious character, like The Fiend. Honestly, I think they could have a really fun match. Your thoughts? I very much appreciate the question, Snapdragon King, but I effing hated the Willow character. Effing hated it with a passion. I hated that character.
No. I don't want it. I don't like Jeff Hardy. I don't like Willow, especially Willow.
I like Jeff.
I've really gone off Jeff recently. No, I like Jeff. I like old Jeff. I don't like current Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff from the last 10 years.
Tom Delves, good day, lads. Hope all is well. With the talk of Sarah Logan being rehired, do you think she will be the one to stop Shayna winning at Money in the Bank? So before we do, there's not talk of Sarah Logan being rehired. So she was brought back. Our sources have confirmed. So Louis Dangor over on Russ Talk interview, you should go and subscribe to our another channel where he's doing some great interview stuff there. His sources have said that Sarah Logan was backstage at Raw this week. And I think that word got out that she was backstage, so they cancelled all the segments that she was going to be a part of. But she was mentioned like throughout the show. But according to what Meltzer wrote in The Observer this week, it's just because the 90-day non-compete effectively means that WWE are still paying these people. They're paying them for the next 90 days. And so if they're paying them, they want to use them. And so they brought Sarah in so that they could use her for a couple of angles. This is the same with Drake Maverick doing the NXT thing. As far as we know, there are no plans to rehire either of them. And there's a lot of talk from backstage of people wanting Sarah Logan to get rehired. And I think that, but I said this on, God, I can't remember what show this was on now. I think it might have been on Raw, on the Raw review I did with Ollie. If I'm Sarah Logan, I'm not going back, because being released, being the only female member of the Raw roster women's division that was released, tells you everything that you need to know about how they see you as a performer in the company. And I think she should probably think more highly of herself than that, because she's a really great talent that deserves way better than being an enhancement talent.
But they kept using her. So like, yeah. And they didn't keep using, they didn't always job her out. Like it, I don't know. I just think it's a shame, isn't it? So
yeah.
And I guess also that, you know, the fact that she's backstage, yeah, they want to use her. They might cancel the section she was going to be in, but she's also married to one of the Viking Raiders. So like, that's another reason to be there, isn't there? Like, it's, you know, John Moxley's been inches from being on WWE TV recently, if Renee Young's been being interviewed. So like, it's anything goes now. So
yeah. So so I don't know about Sarah Logan. I also don't, I can't see them putting her over Shayna Baszler either. Just out of nowhere. I mean, I say out of nowhere, Jinder won the title, so you know, anything can happen, I suppose.
But me and Pete discussed this on the NXT podcast yesterday. It's like there's not really an upside to bringing back either Drake or Sarah Logan in this instance. Like, it's, I think they need to stick to what they've done. They shouldn't be using them, I don't think. They should be making them be there. Unless they want to be, like, they desperately want to be there. But like, you know, Drake Maverick, they're using this storyline off his tweet in NXT. And your options are, he gets quite far in the tournament, ultimately loses, and then you've just sort of rubbed his face in it. You know, whether or not it's part of the story or not, you sort of just have manipulated everybody's like real world emotions to try to tell a TV story. Or he wins it and stays in the company, in which case, why can't everyone else argue about staying in the company? Why can't Zack Ryder turn around and be like, hey, like, you know, me and Kurt, like 2 weeks ago, you put up a video of us unboxing some figures that you wanted us to do. So why are we any less valuable to you than Drake Maverick?
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin, I have a question. In most of your reviews, you refer to Charlotte as a badly booked babyface. In my opinion, she turned heel during the road to WrestleMania. I agree that she was a bad babyface when she tagged with Becky against the Kabuki Warriors, but since the Rumble, she's been working heel, and since you guys don't watch NXT, you may have missed the work she did there, where she was clearly a heel. Should we stop referring to Charlotte as a babyface since she's a heel in WWE's mind? Now, there's your mistake there, Kevin. They don't think she's a heel. They think she's a babyface. it's not us saying she's a badly booked babyface. WWE thinks she's a babyface. And that makes her a badly booked babyface because she's 100% a heel. She's been a heel. I'd argue she was a heel during TLC, but she is 100% a heel, but WWE thinks she's a babyface.
I think WWE thinks she's a Charlotte and they think she therefore is some sort of entity of her own who precedes herself. I think they keep putting her in babyface positions and she's definitely a heel character. But I think she's done some quite good stuff on NXT recently. I think the whole NXT title feud that she's been in with Rhea Ripley was really good, had a really good payoff. That match was great. I wish it would gone longer. I wish I'd seen more of it. I'm excited to see the proper one in front of a big crowd. And I'm liking where they're sort of leading her now that she's feuding with Mia Yim in a sort of a, you were my first match in NXT and I'm now going to raise you up in the same way that you raised me up back then. I think there's some good wrinkles in that they can manipulate.
Abraham, I just fantasy booked myself into a story where Murphy won Money in the Bank. He's got a long sort of fantasy booking thing here, which is very, very good. We've already passed it on to Adam. But he does ask, do you think that Seth needs a feud that he can win? Who does he face after Drew? My pick is that he and Murphy face Ricochet and Alexander so Rollins can get the win and potentially recruit the support club. So, yeah, I think sort of like his point is that, you know, Seth losing at WrestleMania is now going off to face Drew where he most likely will win again. So does Seth need a feud that he can win?
Yes and no. I think it depends on what their options are for him after this failure. Because this failure could be the real crack in Seth that turns him like into, you know, turns him from just like talkative cult leader with a magnetic personality into Charles Manson. You know, this could be the thing that like sends him over the edge. And that's when you start to accrue really disposable people that you don't really care for as your disciples. And that's when I think things get a bit more interesting, when he starts to wield a bit more power.
Yeah, we've had a lot on Raw Review podcast that we've done where people saying, do you think they should hire X? Do you think they should hire Y? But I don't think that Seth's group needs more members at this point. Like, I think they've got like the three members that they've got, or the four of them with Seth, works fine as it is. And like, I don't think we just need to add more members to it for no reason whatsoever. But, you know, I could see Seth winning at Money in the Bank and beating Drew for the title, holding on to it until Drew can win it back in front of a crowd. So you can do that Drew coronation, but in front of an audience, you just do it against Seth instead of against Brock.
That's fun. Yeah, I think that's probably a good way of doing it. It's difficult though, isn't it? Because it's like, this is such a fine line of when to pull the trigger on that, because they could do that for here thinking, well, we'll be able to do this at SummerSlam, and then we might not be able to do SummerSlam. So we don't, you know, you could torpedo Drew's moment inadvertently by trying to give him the bigger moment that he clearly deserved.
Yeah. Frank said, if you could switch lives with someone from The Office for a week, who would you switch with and why? Love from Texas, who apparently is going into quarantine soon, so wish us luck, Frank. I don't know if he means the US or the UK office or our own office.
I think maybe our own office.
Which is good, because I don't really know anything about either show. I don't really know who I'd want to switch out with for a week, because I quite like where I am.
Yeah, I like my life.
Yeah.
Andy's just to get a better understanding.
Well, I was going to say Andy because he's on his own. Like, he is, like everyone else in the team, in the office, is quarantined with someone. You know, I'm with my wife, you're with your lady partner, Ollie's with his, Pete's with his, Adam's with his. But Andy's not the quarantine with his lady partner. They are living separately at the moment because they don't live together. So I kind of would like to see what it's like to live on your own for a whole week. Like,
I could do anything I want.
Exactly. Yeah. What does that entail? I haven't lived on my own for a week in probably since a Christmas 2006, maybe, was the last time I lived on my own for a week. Because I was at university working at Game Station, which means I was working over the Christmas period. So I went home on New Year's Eve, and I went back to Portsmouth on the evening of Christmas Day, because I had to work on Boxing Day. So I worked Christmas Eve and Boxing Day. So I was living in my my university house on my own. So I guess that's the last time I lived on my own for a whole week.
I really enjoyed living in my university house on my own. That's great.
Yeah. Galagoon Classic said, with the announcement of Money in the Bank being on the roof of WWE HQ and the well-received cinematic matches, do you think there is a chance we will see someone thrown off the actual roof of the building? And if so, who will it be?
AJ Styles.
I think we've got all the Raw people in there now.
No, nope, AJ Styles. We're just going to keep killing him.
Keep killing him. Just rises
he's the new,
from
he's
the dead.
The new Kenny.
I like that answer a lot. I don't think anyone's going to get thrown off the actual roof. I think you need to, yes, it's cinematic, but I do think you need to add some semblance of realism to it. Otherwise, it becomes a bit, Boneyard match. Where,
I think they'll tease
they
it.
They killed Gar. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100% they will tease it.
But no, I think they might even do, I think they might even do someone hanging over the edge and film it and then have them climb back in to, that'll be the person who wins the match, I reckon.
Jobber JJ, hello Swaff Nation and the WrestleTalk incredible crew. I watched the Brawl for All Dark Side of the Ring episode and Russo WWF excuse is, I didn't know about concussions and CTE despite WWF doing storylines about concussions. So my question is, how much information was there about concussions in the 90s and early 2000s? Have a safe day. So the NFL knew. You know, that's been sort of quite well documented. There were a lot of doctors who were going out to me and like, look how dangerous this is. But also, like, you've only got to look at boxers throughout the years and how all of their brains slowly deteriorated from their sort of heavy blows to their heads to sort of know that it was a long-term dangerous thing. I think the we didn't know anything about concussions is... I think it's hindsight talking as opposed to like I don't think it's a real excuse. I think perhaps they knew, they just didn't think it was as serious as it really was.
I think they didn't. I think what they're trying to use as a bit of a loophole is that the science didn't necessarily know exactly what happened to the brain under the duress of multiple concussions, which I think people do know now that it basically shrinks and that causes regression. But I don't think they had that definite answer, but they definitely had case studies of people losing it. You know, like they had case studies of people suffering severe consequences from having multiple concussions. They just didn't know exactly what the brain had done to cause that yet.
Yeah, oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, like they use concussions as storylines a lot. I remember there's a line from JR where someone went out with a concussion and JR essentially called them a pussy for being out with a concussion. Like, you know, that was the sort of the way that they looked at it. King Chad says, I just want to tell you guys that you've been killing it consistently. Well, I'm sure it's been a tough scramble to deal with Steve Carino. You guys have not only risen to the challenge, but have capitalized. Your reporting on Black Wednesday and the original interviews coming out of it have been first rate. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
King Chad. That's very nice of you to say. Abnahav, as Laurie is here, I have an NXT question that I want to ask. In NXT, there are certain female wrestlers who are not that good and not pushed once they come to the main roster. Sorry, that are not that good and not pushed, but once they come to the main roster, they improve and usually outshine good wrestlers from NXT, e.g. Alexa Bliss, Carmella, Lacey Evans. Who do you think will be the next one to join them? I believe it will be Aaliyah or Vanessa Bourne.
I could see Vanessa Bourne. I think that's the difference, though, isn't it? I think that those... The examples you've given there are people who fit the Vince McMahon mold, the blonde performers who fit a certain like archetype in his eyes. And you know, they don't necessarily have to be the most technical wrestlers, because if they are like their character sort of speaks for itself. And I think Bliss, Carmella and Lacey Evans have quite strong characters. I wouldn't say that Bliss and Carmella are definitely like on that level of, I think Lacey Evans is maybe a step above them in terms of like wrestling performance level. And then And then you've got that next echelon of like the Becky Lynch's, the Sasha Banks's, Shayna, etc. Charlotte. I think Charlotte's probably even above all of them.
Completely agree.
I think Charlotte's the best wrestler they have.
I'd say her and Asuka, yeah.
Yeah. Like, and so, I guess, yeah, who from NXT would go up? Like, It's difficult because I think NXT's current crop of women doesn't have a lot of chaff in that sense of like people that you just, you know, the show is much really bigger now. The show is so much bigger now that you don't really have anyone fitting that mold beyond Aaliyah and Vanessa Bourne. I can't see the main roster even being interested in them.
Yeah.
Really. Like NXT is barely interested in them. So unless yeah, they get like, you know, Alexa Bliss only really got the big push off NXT because of the management role with Blake and Murphy. And that gave mm-hmm. her lots of screen time. Aaliyah yeah. is just a filler. Like Aaliyah is being used as an enhancement talent.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think Carmella's all that great in all honesty. I think she was great in NXT. She's a good character, but I don't think she was all that great on the main roster either. But I think Lacey Evans was really good in NXT. And she's just shown she's really good on the main roster as well. Mm-hmm. Chris, hi lads, hope you're both doing well. My question is, if you could choose anyone to have a run in NXT, who would it be? For me, it would be John Cena versus the Undisputed Era, ending with Cena versus Cole for the NXT Championship at TakeOver. Thank you guys, keeping us all sane in these hard times.
You could definitely play up the, you could do some sort of Nexus style Redux then, couldn't you? If mm-hmm. John Cena's now on the redemption tour because of Bray Wyatt, he's going to be like, well, next target is what I think is the new Nexus, and that's going to be the Undisputed Era. And then this is where you go, okay, well, John Cena's now going to put over this big faction, which you should have done with the Nexus. Yeah. Who would I like to see go do a run in NXT?
Randy Orton.
Randy. Does that have to be someone who hasn't been there?
I guess that's what they mean, yeah. I guess that was what Chris means by his question. But yeah, I could, only because where he said John Cena, but I would certainly, I'd love to see Randy Orton go for a run down there, particularly being like, you know, I'm the main roster star. Like, go down as a super duper heels. Like, the main roster star.
We do the Legend Killer in reverse.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
I'm doing Legend Killer Minority Report. I'm going to kill you before you're a legend. AJ Styles, I'd like to see go down to NXT. Because I think we got the nice little tease of that when they were doing the crossover stuff before Survivor Series, and I would like to see him have a proper run in there.
Yeah. Lorenzo Haynes, I noticed in the WrestleMania 21 reviews, you guys didn't mention Rey Mysterio's mask problem in his match. Did you ever read or hear about how the button on Mysterio's mask broke before the match and he kept having to hold onto it throughout the match? I don't think I have ever read or heard about that, but to be honest, I honestly didn't even notice. That's how good Rey is. That's how good Rey and Eddie were. Michael Plowman, hello and much love to the WrestleTalk crew. Got a lovely package from the boys today with a shipment of merch, including my own Dance Chopper Dance and, of course, the Support Wrestling Screw Coronavirus shirt for my cousin, who is also in the independent wrestling business. My question is, when is Ollie going to light it up? Well, Michael, I certainly hope you watched today's news, which will have gone up before this. And lastly, from Matthew Scheel, hello, WrestleTalk. Hopefully, Ollie is on this week, as he probably knows most about my question. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. But I have a question about how advertising works on YouTube. Is it possible to advertise your videos on other channels? I do honestly think you guys could hit 1 million subs very quickly if people knew Adam was back on YouTube doing his top 10 videos. If it's possible to do it, why can't you or don't you? Love you all. Just thinking about this, what's best for the channel? Well, Matthew, I can answer that question. No, you can't advertise on other people's channels unless, of course, you do crossover stuff with them or, you know, they say... I mean, you could possibly pay YouTube to make an advert for you, but I don't think advertising on YouTube is probably the best thing in the world because people are very quick to skip those ads.
Yeah, so you've got 5 seconds to be like.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would certainly say that it's, unless you do crossover stuff. But that's always like the best, you know, it's what we wanted to do with Parts of Unknown and with Quizlemania was to kind of use the platform that we've got to try and like give other people a bit of, you know, some notice, you know, bring in Brian Zane, bring in Stephen Larson. We've got Sean Ross Sapp coming on next week's episode of Quizlemania. We want to try and elevate some more of these channels. But at the same time, you know, we also get some benefit from them because they've got their own audiences that then might come across and see us for the first time. So it's all about that sort of like, yeah, it's all working together to promote each other's channels. Might be a daft question, but do you have any plans for the weekends?
God, no. I am. The only plans I've got is that we've been doing a family call at 5 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, which has been quite fun. But what normally happens is me and my brother zoom in, and then mm-hmm. my family just give the iPad to my sister, and then me and Jay just put different things in the backdrop that Cassie likes. And then she just stares at it, eventually leaning closer and closer into the camera. So that's quite fun. But I haven't seen my dad and my stepmom for a while because they sit off the iPad and Cassie's just holding it. Just hear them talking. Doing that, I've organised to play a bit of Smash Bros with my brother as well, which he keeps beating me out.
Oh, that's less cool.
Really annoying. I think he's playing Piranha Plant. It's so hard. It's got so much edge guarding facility. So that is literally my weekend plans. Oh, no, I'm going to catch up with housemate Simon as well.
Oh, that's cool. How is housemate Simon?
He seems all right. Yeah, he seems quite good. He's been texting me about doing a podcast, but he's also doesn't want to do any work for it. So probably not going to happen.
Amazing. Because I haven't seen him in ages, because the one week that he was there for our D&D session, I wasn't there. So I haven't seen him in a long time now.
I think Tuesday should be the one, shouldn't it?
I was gonna say Tuesday. We're all like the gang's all gonna be together because we're coming to the end of our D&D. Yeah, so we do think it's the finale.
Rat bastard we gotta kill.
So yes, we do think this is gonna be the finale of this campaign.
Yeah, I mean, it might take 6 weeks, knowing us, but yeah, I think this is the end of our adventures in the jungle.
Yeah,
I mean, George seemed to suggest that it was right when I said this is coming to the end now. So should we not?
Yeah,
be?
I mean, he certainly didn't say no. Yeah. So that would suggest that it is coming to an end, but I don't know.
And well, this was a stopgap, right? So he could write the next bit properly.
Yeah, because this isn't one of his own ones, is it? Yeah, this is
A modified version of Tomb of Annihilation, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Right, well, let's see if there is anything in the old email mailbag. That was a terrible sentence.
The email mailbag.
The email mailbag. I think I used to call it the pod bag. Let's see what we have got that we could possibly read out. This is a strange one that came in from Daniel, who said, I've been arguing about this for hours. I've literally hate my wife now. Is it donuts or dough nuts? So he's got D-O, like D-O-H nuts, like dough nuts, or D-O-E nuts, but to me would also be donuts, right?
It's donut. Donut.
Yeah. Like, dough. So I would have said it's dough, as in, but I would also said, like, if you were doughing on someone, like, I don't know, so that's the right thing to say, is about, yeah, I just feel like it's
doughing.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Not sure on that one.
Do you mean like dough with a duch nut?
I, this weekend, I'm cooking a 3-course meal.
Goodness.
For my wife. So I'm going to go out, I'm going to brave the shops soon enough and go and get everything I need for that. But yeah, that's basically my plan for this weekend. I don't know what we're going to do on Sunday.
What's this meal? Oh,
well, I won't say it too loud. I won't say it out too loud because she's in the other room. Okay, so I've got an amuse bouche of potato and cabbage, like within potato skins. Mm-hmm. It's a little amuse bouche, little starter. A starter of lobster salad.
Whoa.
Doing big air quotes because it's a vegan. Chicken laksa.
Salad. You have to imagine the lobster.
Chicken laksa as a main. And then I've got a pre-dessert of gin and tonic granita. And then a dessert of a vanilla cheesecake with a raspberry coulis.
That's actually a 5-course meal.
Yeah, I know, but she doesn't know that yet.
Ah, I see.
Yes, so that's so I'm very excited to do that because I haven't had I've got a cooking bug because Great British Menu's on and MasterChef is finished, and yeah, I bloody love cooking me, so I'm excited. I've never done that dessert before.
Very good.
And we've got a quiz tonight, mate.
Oh yeah. I'm washing my hair.
Yeah, well, it's Gemma and Tim doing it tonight, so I'm really looking forward to them doing the quiz.
Well, I'm hoping I get through Explained by then, because
of course, you've got to really be the old day.
Turning into a nightmare.
Oh, no.
I keep doing, like, 2 hours work and being like, cool, how far through the video am I? A minute and a half more. Brilliant. It's 20 minutes left.
Right, well, on that note, let's get out of here so you can, well, we're going to our morning meeting and then you can do your Explained video.
I mean, I'm probably going to skip the morning meeting.
Thank you all so much for listening. Pete and Andy will be back tomorrow with the SmackDown review, and they will likely be talking about Andy's new baldy head. And then we'll be back on Tuesday with the Raw review. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.